Shalom everyone, Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Vayeshev. We are facing Chanukah. Chanukah is going to be in 4 days. And whenever this week portion is around, it's always around Chanukah. Usually it's in the middle of Chanukah, but this year is a couple of days before. Is there a connection between this week portion and Chanukah? Of course, there are many connections. And I want to start by asking the biggest question maybe one can ask about Chanukah. Go ask a random person on the street, what's the story of Chanukah? The answer will be, God provided oil after the destruction of the temple. There was a mess. They couldn't find oil. They don't know the historical event exactly, but they remember there was a time where the Maccabees came to clear, to purify the temple. They could only find this small vessel of oil. They used it. There was a miracle. And the oil was there for a couple of extra days. Because of that, it's a miracle of lights. And this is the festival of lights. And this is why we celebrate for 8 nights. The answer is wrong. Obviously, it happened. It's a portion. It's something that the kids remember. It's something that we do celebrate when we light the candles. But the truth is that there's a big story behind it. It's the story of the revolution and the war of Mattithiah and his kids, the Maccabees, from the city of Modin that came after they came and they asked him to idol worship and to worship other gods. They said, "Who is with us to God?" And they revolt and they fought for several years until they came to Jerusalem with many fights, with many wars to really declare how power here in the nation. Although they were small in numbers, although they were weak, they still fought. So what's the essence and why this small miracle of lights takes such a big chunk of the story? The same question goes when you look at this weak portion in many, many ways. It's almost the same with two aspects that I want to mention. One aspect is in the selling of Joseph. So just as a reminder, we start the story of this week portion about Jacob and Yosef and how Yosef is a younger child and he dreams about how he's amazing and he has, the stars and the moon bowing to him. He comes to his brothers. This is, sign of immaturity. You come to him and say, "What do you think it means? What do you think?" Of course, his father understands this kid is going to be great and we all going to vow to him. But it develops into something that's, again, in the book of Genesis, we see it many times, jealousy. He brings his son a technicolor suit or robe. Anyway, it doesn't end well when he goes and he sends him to visit his brothers, his sons, in the area of Shechem. They decide to finish him. They decide to sell him. They decide in the beginning to kill him. They don't kill him. They sell him. And then it says that he's being thrown into a pit. And I might even talked about it in the past. It says that in the pit, there was no water. Leave it aside for a second. And then he's being taken from it. And they put him on these like Midianites. Imagine Bedouins, on the Silk Road, traveling with their camels and their camels with sacks of things that they're going to move from one place to another. And in those two different elements, the commentary, the main commentary, Rashi, says two different comments that are very interesting. Number one, it says that in the pit, there was no water. Why does it say there's no water? He quotes the Talmud that says there was no water, but there were scorpions and snakes. And the second is that in the camel, when those Bedouins travel with, what did they carry that day? On the sacks, they were a good smell of incense or something that smelled really well. Why? So the journey of Joseph won't be so bad. Okay, there he's on the camel, he's being kidnapped, he's being taken away to be a prisoner, he's going to go have the worst time of his life, but at least the journey will smell good. It's a very interesting two quotes that you don't really understand how they fit in. But I think both of them fit in, and they fit in immediately with the story of Hanukkah. At the first story with the pit and the water, in essence, it gives us something to think about. The pit represents the people of Israel. And the secret of Hanukkah tells them something very simple. At the vessel, at the essence of who you are as a nation, you need to understand. There will be many nations throughout history, in the Greeks and the Romans in the time of Hanukkah, that will come and would want to pour any type of other liquid into the pit, into your life. It could be wine, it could be Coca-Cola, it could be something to replace the water. Water representing, of course, our culture, our Torah. And the Torah gives us this hint. You need to know that in this pit where you are, you need to know. If there's no water in it, if there's not your liquid of life, the Torah that fills your life, there will be scorpions and snake. It won't be empty. You cannot replace the essence of who you are with anything different. No wine, no other liquids, only the Torah. This is the story of the culture of Hanukkah. But the second comment of the smell puts it in a very, very precise moment that says as follows. How can you manage life with so much pain yourself? Is being sold in the age of 17, is going to be a slave in Potiphar's home, and then he's going to sit in prison, and it's a one-way prison. You sit there and you sit for life. How come he's going to become this person that's going eventually to be the second in command of Pharaoh? How didn't you lose hope? How you didn't thought that it's all going to be the end of your life? Later on in the book, when we're going to read about Joseph, when he's going to encounter his brother, he's going to use the word "Vatem v'Hashem shileachoti." God sent me. You see, this is the essence of the different. There is one thing when you look at life and you think life happens, and when it happens, sometimes it brings you good and bad. When it's going to be too bad, it's going to be the end of it. But when you understand God sends you, even in the darkest moments, even in the time that you think this is the end of your life, you're sitting in prison, you're going through the torture of thinking that your brother sold you. Your father didn't call you, didn't ask for you. You're sitting there in jail, in prison, in the pit, but you know God had sent me to this place. The problem in life, though, is that we sometimes forget that it was really God. So there were exactly that moment on the camel when the journey will start. This is the point where all the journey and all the bad things will happen. He smelled that there was good smell. It's almost that God hint and said to him, Yosef, I'm with you. I am with you. Things are not going to go well, but don't forget I'm always here. I think this is the deepest secret of Hanukkah. The candle didn't mean a thing when you look at the grand scheme of the stories, but this small miracle of light was a reminder to the Maccabees and to the people around them, the people of Israel, telling them, I'm with you. This is a small miracle for God. It means really so small, but I'm with you and I did not forget you and I'm always going to be there with you. I think this is something that we need to remember in our life in Israel and generally. A lot of the times, it looks dark, it looks painful, it looks that there's no hope. We need to lurk and to search for those meaningful minutes that God is hinting us and telling us, I'm with you. The good smell, the good sight, a small miracle is the essence of understanding that I am with you at all time. We won't replace our culture, our Torah for anything. We know when we replace it, scorpions and snake come. We need to open our eyes and to remember always. That's the lesson for the generations. God is with you at all time, in the good time and even in the dark time. I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, and in this week also, Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas to the one who celebrates.